cosa.
Thank you, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Happy Feast of Trumpets. Feels so good, as usual, to come together, but today is a special day to really celebrate God and praise Him. So it's just great to see you all. Brethren, in my occupation as an architect and a construction manager, I understand that any project, whether a large building or a small renovation, cannot be built without a detailed planning process. Usually the process begins with a need, which becomes a seed that eventually blossoms through the planning and design stage. The result of which becomes a detailed set of drawings and specifications that can be used in the execution of the project plan. Most project managers will confirm that the success of any project comes down to the proper planning up front. Depending on the size and scale of the project, it can require a multi-year plan or a master plan that focuses on specific goals over a period of time. Initially, this process can take some effort, but in the long run, the planning is critical to the success and execution of that plan. So what are some of the critical steps of a planning process? The fact is, this is a very detailed process, so it would take all day to go through it, but I'd like to share some highlights with you today. First, the planning of a project requires that we define the project scope and establish clear goals, that we evaluate the challenges or risks and establish a mitigation plan to avoid the risks. We then define the critical path and highlight the key milestones needed to achieve the project goals. These milestones can then be used to create a schedule that guides us through the project, the entire project. It allows us to confirm our past accomplishments while at the same time assess our present condition. And more importantly, it helps us to keep looking forward so we can prepare for what lies ahead. Then, brethren, once the plan is in place and all the drawings and specifications have been defined, we must account for all aspects of the plan and count the costs to ensure we have proper funding in place to complete the work. Now, all these steps thus far have been geared towards the planning of the project, but the next step is critical to the success and the execution of the overall plan. We must select the right team through a vetting process, which is guided by the requirements and specifications that were developed through the planning process. Using these qualifications developed through the process, we can reject those that are not qualified to the job. This allows us to assemble a team that is qualified and willing to work in unity towards the same goal. This team must be motivated and have vision, always focused on the plan and following the required specifications as set forth from the beginning. Well, brethren, let us consider that God is the creator of the universe. He is the architect of all that we see around us today. And He has put in motion an amazing plan for mankind. He has established clear goals and evaluated all the risks. God established a critical path for His plan. He has given us clear milestones of which this Feast of Trumpets is pivotal. He has counted the cost from the foundations of the world and provided us with a master plan represented through His holy days. Through these holy days, God allows us to look into the past to those who have come before us, while also allowing us to look forward to the city whose builder and maker is God. But today, on this holy day, we must recognize the alarm that is sounding and the pivotal milestone we find ourselves in. We must heed the sound of the trumpet symbolized by this holy day and assess our current condition. The title of today's sermon is Trumpets, a Pivotal Milestone in God's Plan. Trumpets, Trumpets represents the culmination of the present age of man and the beginning of an incredible time during which God will play a direct role in world events. It signals the intervention of God in human affairs on a global level. Upon the last trumpet, Jesus Christ returns to the earth and will resurrect the saints who are no longer living and instantly change those saints who are still alive in mortals to mortal spirit beings. The feast represents a dramatic turning point in mankind's history. This is the moment in God's plan in which He finishes the vetting process. This is when all of us will be weighed in the balances and some of us may be found wanting. He will select those who are found worthy and qualified to become His very elect, or the first fruits. This will be God's new family, who through millennia of trials and tribulations have qualified to become kings and priests, all motivated in unity with one focus and vision, that is to fulfill the Father's will and establish His kingdom on earth, to restore God's love to all of mankind and prepare for the full harvest of humanity at the end of the millennium. God tells us the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. The first fruits will be the laborers of God's larger fall harvest of all humanity. This will lead us into the final stage of God's plan. After eons of planning and implementation, all that is and was and ever shall be in the universe will be in harmony with God. There will be no more death, only life. Today I'd like to consider the Feast of Trumpets, its past, its present, and future, so we can understand its pivotal nature and how we can prepare ourselves for the last trump. God tells us in Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God's plan is in motion, and He shall bring it to pass. He has purposed it, and He shall also do it. This plan has been in motion from ancient times, before the foundations of the world. God asks us to remember the former things of old. So let us take a moment to go back to Leviticus, where He commands us to observe the Feast of Trumpets. If you could please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be the holy convocations, these are my feasts." Here God announces that these feasts are His, and they are holy convocations, and commands us to observe them. If we drop down to verse 23, we read the specific command to observe the Feast of Trumpets. Down in verse 23 we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by the Lord, or made by fire to the Lord." This chapter is referenced in practically at every holy day, because it is here where we can find God's holy day and all His milestones for mankind, for His plan. These are all listed in succession in one place. And if you read this chapter, you'll find that the Feast of Trumpets is unique among the other holy days. Its placement is between the spring holy days and the first three spring holy days and the last three fall holy days, making it the center point of God's master plan. The position is also, it makes it a pivot point in God's master plan for mankind. But there are other significant reasons we should consider the Feast of Trumpets. God tells us that it should be a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So what is a memorial? Today we have memorials to celebrate solemn occasions. Everyone, all every country, or significant events that may have happened in the past. Most recently, you might have watched the memorials related to 9/11, to the attacks of 9/11 in New York City or in Washington or in Pennsylvania. There are memorials to honor, these are memorials that honor the dead or simply remind us of our history and our common bond that unites us as a people. Every country in one way, shape, or form has memorials to signify and remember their past. So what event is God asking the children of Israel to memorialize through the blowing of trumpets? We need to go back to the Old Testament to understand one of the most significant events in mankind's history. The event was so important in God's master plan that he asked his people to observe it for eternity. Like all the holy days, trumpets was to foreshadow God's plan, which he has been implementing through the ages. For he declares the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He desires all people be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let us look back and see what God is asking us to memorialize. If you could please turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, we read, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out to the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice." This amazing, awe-inspiring, but terrifying event describes the first time that the great Almighty God set his feet upon the earth at Mount Sinai, and he speaks to Moses before the children of Israel. He has come down to provide the law to his chosen people. The Ten Commandments are recited in the following chapter in Exodus 20, but the people were sore afraid of God's presence. Again, if you could please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 18, we read, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we will hear you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" They were terrified. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.'" Here we read that thunderings of God's Ten Commandments simply terrified everyone. God came down himself to deliver these messages and test his people, so that his fear may be before them, so that they may not sin. God tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Through this direct contact with his people, God was instilling this principle in their hearts and minds. So many scriptures remind us of this principle. In Proverbs, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." In Psalms, we read, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." It is the fear of the Lord, humility towards God, that brings us closer to him. When I think of this amazing moment in time on the critical path in God's master plan, I am astonished. The events as described must have been something that would have seared into the brains, into the minds of his people. So important that a memorial was established through the Feast of Trumpets, We must remember to fear the Lord and follow his instructions as they were thundered out from the Mount Sinai. The law of God being given to his people was a milestone for everyone to remember throughout the ages. So what about our present day today? How is the Feast of Trumpets important to us today? Once again, we need to look back into history and understand the role trumpets played as an early form of communication throughout the civilization around the world. Specifically, though, in this case, the children of Israel. In Scripture, we read that God commands the use of trumpets to the children of Israel. If you could please turn with me to Numbers. Numbers chapter 10. In this chapter, God provides direction to the children of Israel on how they were required to sound their trumpets. The trumpets were critical in their day-to-day activities of the children of his people. By trumpeting out various patterns of sound into the camp, they were able to communicate over vast distances and assemble in the appropriate formations. So let's focus on verse 8. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. In verse 10, we read, also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am Lord your God. Notice that God has established an ordinance forever with the priests of Aaron. They were to sound the trumpets during the times of war, during the days of gladness, and the appointed feasts at the beginning of the months. The blowing of trumpets was so important to God that it was made that ordinance that stands forever. And just as the priests of Aaron would blow the trumpets to communicate to God's children, the Feast of Trumpets continues to send a message to us today. The Feast of Trumpets is a warning to God's people today of the impending calamity that will befall this world. It should be a sounding alarm that thunders a warning to those of us who observe it and understand its significance in God's plan. It represents the tipping point in which God will intervene in the affairs of man. It ushers in the day of the Lord when Jesus Christ returns in the near future. It will be a time of massive world upheaval. Men's hearts will fail them because of that same type of fear that was felt at the Mount Sinai. If you can, please again turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. We'll take a peek in the events of that the day of the Lord here. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Starting in verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and in on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. This milestone in God's plan has not been fulfilled as of yet, but this world is moving headlong towards its fulfillment. We are living in this moment and should recognize the urgency of our calling. There is no time to waste, brethren. Paul warns us that we must walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, brethren, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We must take account of our thoughts and our actions with a sense of urgency and be motivated and focused on God and His plan. We must study God's Word and write it in our hearts and minds. We must bear fruit that reflects God's righteous character. We must pray and meditate constantly, seeking God's guidance, so He can mold us like clay in His almighty hands. Again, please turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. We read, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it? All who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" This is a warning for us. We must finish what we started. Our calling does not allow us to sit idle. The growth of our character cannot remain stagnant. We must run the race until it is finished. We cannot be halfway in and expect to be selected into God's family. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, brethren, we are in the vetting process of God's plan, and once the trumpet sounds, it will be too late. We must become worthy of our calling. The Feast of Trumpets helps us to understand the soon coming events prophesied through the Bible. We know that Jesus Christ prophesied that there would be perilous times ahead, that the world would stand at the precipice of destruction. In fact, we see the signs all around us. Consider the world's doomsday clock, which is a symbol that represents the likelihood of a man-made global catastrophe. It currently stands at 100 seconds to midnight, a minute and a half roughly, right? And it is now closer than it's ever been. We are witnessing the fulfillment of prophecy with more frequency, and their alignment with Scripture is astonishing. These events will lead us to the fulfillment of this terrifying and awesome milestone in God's plan. If you can, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here Timothy warns us of the state of the world and tells us to stay away from her and focus on God's plan. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." And from such people, please, he asks us to turn away. These character traits that we see all around us today are the consequences of mankind's refusal to follow God's law, of not having the fear of the Lord in our lives or understanding of God's holy days and His plan for mankind. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." We see that today. This condition of mankind will lead us to such tribulation, it is unlike anything in human history. Jeremiah gives us a vivid description of these events. Again, if you could please turn with me now to Jeremiah in chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19, we read, my bowels, I am pained at my heart, my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole world, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. God tells us through Scripture that He will pour out His wrath upon the earth, and these events are symbolized by the sounding of the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation. God's creation will once again return full circle to its very genesis, for it will be without form and void. These are chilling warnings of what is to come, but it's not the end. At the sounding of the final trumpet, there will be a great joy, for we know that at this moment our Lord and Savior will once again set His feet upon this earth. And as a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remains in anguish. So shall it be in the coming. So shall it be with the coming of our Lord. The pain that comes to the world through this great tribulation will soon be replaced with great joy, for the former things will pass away. Brethren, we will be born into the family of God, and the Feast of Trumpets will be fulfilled. If you could please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Here we read, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." As we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, we are reminded of God's message of hope. He reminds us that we are not alone, and that His plan will be fulfilled in due time. God will intervene in the affairs of men, and He warns us that we must use our time on earth to seek His truth. We must continue to grow in the knowledge and grace of God and prepare ourselves so that we can be found worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. So, brethren, we know that God has a plan for mankind, and we are reminded every year through His holy days of this plan. Through God's holy scriptures, we can peer back in time and recognize the critical path that has been taken by our forefathers and the prophets. We read of their failures and their successes, recognizing their struggles and learning from their strengths. Through it, we realize the milestones that have been accomplished and understand that we must build upon the past if we are to qualify to be in God's family in the future. We must assess our present condition and recognize the challenges of this world and separate from her. The Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among the unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy rags or their filthy things, and I will welcome you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We must also look forward into the future in order to understand the urgency of our calling. We can see the signs all around us in our daily lives. We must stay focused on God's plan and study His scriptures so the day of the Lord doesn't come upon us like a thief in the night. If you can, brethren, please turn with me once again to Thessalonians this time, 3 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. Starting with verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We must pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We must be vigilant and sober, pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And let us celebrate this day today, this pivotal milestone in God's plan, with hope and love and charity towards each other.